Hello everyone, welcome back to Fit Body Happy Joints. My name is Shannon. Today we're talking about nutrition for fertility. And we're talking about nutrition when you're trying to conceive. I truthfully wish I had this information a year before I even started trying, because you can start implementing things as early as possible to improve insulin sensitivity and prime your body for fertility. So make sure to send this to all of your friends who want kids maybe someday in their future, but maybe it's not on their radar yet. Because I think most women don't start paying attention to improving their fertility until they're ready to start trying. Whereas it may happen faster if you are working on some of the nutritional and exercise and lifestyle things like balancing your blood sugar, which we're going to talk about today, long before you start trying. Because many of the things that are good for your fertility are also going to be good for your overall health. So it's not like it will hurt to start implementing these things sooner than later. So today I have Becca on the podcast. I'll introduce her in just a second. In this episode, we talk about nutrition if you are trying to conceive and you're underweight, or if you're normal weight or overweight, some things to do. She talks about how and why to balance your blood sugar. We get into micronutrients and how to track your micronutrients. We touch a little bit on exercise. And then we also touch about what men can do to start to improve their fertility and a lot more. We get super detailed. And I truly think that anyone who is family planning should listen to this episode. So Becca Romero is the founder of Little Life Nutrition, an online fertility nutrition practice. Becca is a licensed dietitian nutrition and a certified nutrition specialist. She specializes on addressing infertility. She offers personalized dietary and lifestyle solutions for women hoping to conceive. She's passionate about helping her clients understand how a healthy diet and lifestyle can enhance fertility, in addition to empowering women with knowledge on their menstrual cycle for conception, which, by the way, we also get into menstrual cycle tracking just a little bit in this episode. She is driven by the philosophy that optimal preconception nutrition and lifestyle can really shape the well-being of generations to come. So without further ado, here is Becca. So Becca, let's jump right into this. What is the most important thing for women to be considering when they're trying to conceive from a nutrition perspective?
Absolutely. So I think just starting off from a really basic level, not even really getting into specific foods just yet, but just from a really basic level, thinking about getting enough calories is extremely important. So this is something I run into a lot with women, making sure that they're eating enough. Sometimes women are wanting to lose weight, or they've wanted to lose weight for a little while and they're kind of more calorie conscious. But something I like to tell them is, planning a pregnancy is not a time to think about like low calorie foods or diet foods, things of that nature. Getting enough calories is extremely important. Planning for a pregnancy and a pregnancy is very nutrient requiring time in our lives, and making sure we're getting enough calories is extremely important. And we do a little analysis there too, to make sure that they're getting enough calories, but just making sure that from a general perspective, you're getting enough calories is extremely important. So that's number one, because our body needs to feel safe.
Is that our audience might be familiar with like total daily energy expenditure and things like that, and kind of having a rough number around their maintenance. So is maintenance, do you want to be in a maintenance calorie range, or do you want to be in a surplus even? What is like most desirable from that lens?
Most desirable, I would say between maintenance and even a surplus would be good. It just kind of depends on the person. And like, if they are like a little bit lower in weight and they maybe need to gain weight, for their body to be able to feel safe, we would definitely want a little bit of a surplus, and not, worrying too much about like that number on the scale. It just kind of depends on the person, but more somewhere between a maintenance phase to a surplus phase would be recommended.
And like when we're talking about surplus, I know my audience likes numbers and specifics. Are we talking like a slight surplus, like calorie wise, like 200 calories, 400, 500? Like, what do you usually recommend?
I would say around like 200 calories. It doesn't need to be anything extreme, but around like 200 to 300 calories would be good. But we do want to monitor that too and make sure, you know, you're not gaining a lot of weight too, because we don't want, like, there's a range. You don't want to be underweight. You don't want to be overweight, right? So it just kind of depends on the person. But generally, I would say around about that, like 200, 300 calories.
Do you see, as far as like trying to conceive and weight, do you see some correlation with women being underweight and struggling to conceive, or is there a correlation there at all?
Absolutely. I definitely see a correlation with women being underweight and struggling to conceive. And that can often come out in signs in the menstrual cycle. And maybe we can dig into that a little bit too. But having, you know, missed periods and things like that can often occur when a woman is undernourished or having amenorrhea, which is basically just the absence of your menstrual period. And a lot of times the root cause of that can be from undernourishing. So that's not always the case for everyone, but being underweight can definitely affect your menstrual cycle and definitely affect your ability to conceive because of that, because the menstrual cycle is extremely important for being able to conceive.
And what if someone is normal weight and they are still struggling to conceive? Is that something that you still want to recommend and then be in a calorie surplus? Or is that more applicable to the women that are underweight and potentially have lost their period or are having irregular cycles?
Yeah, I would say it's more applicable to those who are having irregular cycles or noticing irregularities in their menstrual cycle. For normal weight individuals, it is important to make sure you're getting enough calories and being more at that maintenance phase and not trying to lose weight necessarily. But for women who are at that normal weight, focusing more on like a blood sugar balancing diet can be really important too. That's one of the main things that I recommend, just making sure, and I can talk a little bit more about what that means, but making sure that their blood sugar is balanced in general from their diet, making sure they're at more of a calorie maintenance, not trying to lose weight, not necessarily trying to gain weight, getting enough calories. And even for some individuals who are normal weight, they might think that they are, you know, they want to lose weight. They want to be, you know, a lower weight. And that's oftentimes not a good, you know, a good goal to have when trying to get pregnant, is trying to lose weight if you are at like a BMI that is optimal. Some women do want to still lose weight in that time period, and focusing on losing weight during planning for a pregnancy isn't necessarily the best idea. And I will say I've seen like women who are at a normal weight and they, you know, maybe haven't talked to somebody about like what is a healthy weight for trying to conceive or pregnancy, and they're eating really low calorie but still at like a normal weight. So that's when it's good to kind of track that and see, you know, how many calories are you consuming, especially if they haven't, you know, done a little bit of tracking in the past. But I've seen women consuming like 1,100 calories a day, still being a normal weight, but wanting to lose weight, which is just, you know, depends on the weight and the height. But that's just, you know, too low for most people to be able to conceive or have their body feel safe, like they're getting enough nutrition to support a pregnancy.
That makes sense. So from a blood sugar perspective, can you talk more about that? What does that look like? And how is that something that you could track?
Absolutely. So one of the general recommendations I have for just kind of like the average normal weight individual trying to conceive is consuming a blood sugar balancing diet. And what this really means is structuring your diet in a way that keeps your blood sugar stable and you're not having major swings and dips in your blood sugar. And I know, I think you've talked about blood sugar and insulin and things like that on your podcast before. But making sure you are eating enough protein, not eating extremely high carb or sugary foods, eating enough fruits and vegetables, and healthy fats to make sure your blood sugar is balanced. So what can happen is if we eat extremely high carbohydrate foods or carbohydrate forward meals, this can cause a little bit of an imbalance in our blood sugar, causing blood sugar to spike unnecessarily high, and then sometimes can cause a little bit of a crash, which can lead you feeling like low energy, tired, fatigued after meals, things of that nature. And it doesn't even have to be like, you know, like dessert foods that we think of when we're thinking of like blood foods that will spike your blood sugar. Typically, we could even consider like a classic example is, you know, eating a bowl of oatmeal for breakfast. And I don't think that oatmeal is an unhealthy food or a bad food or a food that should be avoided, but it's a good example of a common breakfast food that is a little bit higher carbohydrate. And if we don't have like a protein source or a fat source that's going to keep that blood sugar stable, because oatmeal is a carbohydrate heavy food, which can cause a little bit of a blood sugar spike. So let's say we're eating a bowl of oatmeal for breakfast with some fruit, maybe like a banana and strawberries and a little bit of honey to jazz it up. All of those foods are high carbohydrate foods, and we don't have any protein or fat, which are those foods that are going to buffer your blood sugar levels from spiking. So a blood sugar balancing diet is basically just making sure that you're not neglecting one of those food groups, being proteins, fats, or carbohydrates. We need carbohydrates, but we don't necessarily want to just eat them on their own. We want to make sure those meals are really balanced out. So let's say you do love oatmeal for breakfast. A good idea would be to add a couple eggs, maybe a couple pieces of turkey sausage on the side to help balance out that plate. And so we're getting some protein, some healthy fats in there, along with that carbohydrate component of the meal.
That makes total sense. And you'll know that if your blood sugar is more or less balanced if you're not having those symptoms of fatigue, the crash afterwards.
Absolutely. And another good measure I like to describe is you should be satisfied from your meals and not feel starving or ravenous or hungry like 1 to 2 hours after a meal. And so a good sign that your blood sugar is balanced is you feel satisfied after that meal for about 3 to 4 hours. And you're not experiencing that kind of like extreme crash. Is when our blood sugar does crash, that's when we feel hungry again, or when it starts to come down, we feel hungry again. So that's another good sign that your blood sugar is balanced, is that you're feeling satiated from your meals for about 3 to 4 hours.
Got it. And educate us on how this relates to fertility. How does having more balanced blood sugar, is it like an insulin sensitivity thing? And if you're more insulin sensitive, your reproductive health is better? Or what is the mechanism behind that?
Yeah, absolutely. It is really related to insulin. So having lower insulin levels does correlate with or is connected with better fertility. So having high levels of insulin can create a hormonal imbalance and can cause other hormones to, and I really love that like word hormone imbalance, because it's very nonspecific. But it is kind of true in a way, where having high levels of insulin can have a negative effects on your other sex hormones, like your testosterone, your estrogen, your progesterone, things of that nature. And this is something that's really common in the population of women that have PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome, and very common to have decreased fertility or struggles with conceiving when you do have PCOS. And a lot of times having higher insulin levels can cause you to have higher testosterone levels, which can impact your ability to ovulate. And on another note with that too, higher insulin levels just cause higher levels of inflammation and oxidative stress in the body, which can cause issues with conceiving.
That makes a ton of sense. So if someone has PCOS, which I know, I feel like is getting more and more common, or more people are are realizing, discovering that they have PCOS. Is this sort of diet recommended for someone if they also have PCOS, or is that kind of a separate conversation?
Absolutely. Yes, this diet is definitely a blood sugar balancing diet, is very applicable to women with PCOS and want a really important thing for them to implement, because that blood sugar, the insulin levels are typically higher in PCOS. And so that's a very important strategy for them to implement, is a blood sugar balancing diet.
Awesome. Anything else from a nutrition perspective? We talked about having enough calories. If you're underweight, potentially eating a little bit of a surplus. If you're normal weight, at least eating at your maintenance, and then focusing on a blood sugar balancing diet. Whether you're underweight or normal weight or above weight, the blood sugar balancing diet, I'm sure, seems applicable for any weight. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes, very universal for any. Any weights. So a few other things, just quick things, would be to going back to the blood sugar balancing diet a little bit, but making sure you're getting enough protein. I typically would recommend about 0.75 to 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight, to make sure you're getting enough protein. And then just generally, I would say focusing on whole foods that are unprocessed, trying to minimize foods that come in packages, shopping in that perimeter of the grocery store, fruits and vegetables, meats and things of that nature. And then just making sure you're getting a lot of colorful foods. So something I recommend is when you look at your plate for every meal, make sure you have at least one food that has a deep color to it. So something like we think of like raspberries, blackberries, blueberries, kale, spinach, broccoli, things that have that deep color to them. Sometimes our plates can be a little bland in color. Like if we're thinking about maybe having like some chicken and potatoes or something like that, very bland in color, making sure you're adding a little bit of color to that meal is something I always recommend.
What about if you're vegan or vegetarian? Mm-hmm. How does that, and I know that this is a controversial topic, and you can give your honest opinion in a safe space here. The Fit Body Happy Joints listeners are not going to come after you. We've got great listeners. So what is your opinion on being vegetarian or vegan? How does that affect fertility, if at all?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So I understand where vegans and vegetarians are coming from, as far as their reasoning for incorporating that diet. I will say my opinion, and just based on research, a vegan vegetarian diet is not optimal for fertility for a few different reasons. And there are definitely ways you can structure a vegan or vegetarian diet to make it more optimal for fertility, but it just typically tends to be lower in protein and lower in nutrient density. While you're still getting enough, you're still getting a lot of fruits and vegetables and things of that nature, meats are actually one of the most nutrient dense foods you can get. So it can be quite a challenge to get enough protein, get enough nutrient density from your food. So I typically don't recommend a vegan or vegetarian diet for trying to conceive, but it certainly can be done. I would definitely recommend working with someone to make sure you are getting enough nutrients, because it can be a diet that doesn't serve you as much nutrient density as a diet that does include meat.
That's a great answer and makes total sense. Speaking of nutrient density, one thing that I've been doing as now that I'm pregnant, for a long time I tracked my food like last year, learned a lot about how much protein I was eating, what made me feel good and satisfied, what was enough calories, what was too much. And it was like so eye-opening to me. And then when I got pregnant, I kind of stopped tracking for a little while because I was like, I'm just trying to like survive here, like eat what I can. And then after second trimester, I started feeling really good and started tracking again, specifically because I wanted to look at number one, am I getting enough protein? which I think I have a good handle over from tracking for so long. I feel like I have a good sense of now, but I was also really interested in my micronutrients. And I was like, you know, I am learning that that's important for fetal development and things like that. I would assume that micronutrients are also important when you're trying to conceive. So you get into micronutrients a little bit. Is that something that you would recommend women start looking at if they're tracking? Like, I know Chronometer will pull your micronutrients. Chronometer is an app like MyFitnessPal. It'll pull the micronutrients much more granularly so you can like look at your levels. Is that something that you recommend your women try?
Absolutely. I love that you mentioned Chronometer. That is pretty much the only tracking app that I recommend because of that reason. It does give you more of that comprehensive look at your micronutrient intake and not just like how many calories you're eating, how much protein, fat, fiber. So Chronometer is amazing for that because you can track your daily intake and get an idea of, wow, maybe I'm not getting enough manganese or I'm not getting enough zinc or iron or whatever it is. And I definitely recommend tracking for that reason. And I like to, you know, not every woman likes to track their food, and it can be maybe, you know, triggering for some people who've gone through like a weight loss journey and had been recommended to track their food. But I like to recommend it from a point of, we're not looking necessarily, if that's something that you have had a negative experience with in the past, we're not necessarily looking at it to, you know, reduce your calories, but almost from a place of abundance to look at, are you getting enough micronutrients? And so tracking your food intake, maybe it's only like 3 days a week or something like that. We don't have to do it every single day and get obsessive about it. But looking at your micronutrient intake and making sure you're getting what you need for supporting pregnancy, for supporting your fertility, can be extremely important. And making sure you have stores built up for when you do get pregnant. So making sure micronutrients are optimal is extremely important. And then honestly, it's really hard to get enough these days. And so if you're not hitting every single area, that's important information to have. And we can look at that and be like, okay, maybe you're not getting enough zinc. We need to maybe add some oysters or something like that to your diet to help get you, or look at foods that are really high in those nutrients to help incorporate more of that micronutrient into your diet. But it can be helpful to do that analysis and then supplement with obviously a prenatal to make sure you're getting enough daily, because our food, unfortunately, isn't as nutrient dense as it used to be just due to like depleted soils and things of that nature. So don't feel bad if you're not perfect. If you're doing that analysis and you're really missing the mark, but you feel like you're eating pretty healthy, we can always tweak things here and there. But a good prenatal vitamin is also super helpful for getting those micronutrients in that your diet may be missing. So
that makes total sense. What would be some micronutrients that you see are low in women typically who are trying to conceive and struggling to conceive? What would be like some ones to pay attention to specifically?
Absolutely. I would say iron, number one, especially we were talking about those vegans and vegetarians. If you do have a vegan and vegetarian diet, iron is going to be extremely, extremely difficult to get. But I would say even for women who eat a meat-containing diet, iron can still be a little bit of a struggle to get there. So I would definitely say iron. The next two I think of are zinc and choline, which choline is a very important nutrient for brain development, for the fetus, and it can be really helpful for your fertility as well. So those are some common ones I would say. And the common ones I would say are typically low in intake, as well as magnesium. So I would say those is kind of like the top four that I see when we're doing an analysis that are really low in the diet. Things to focus on. So if you're looking to do a little analysis, look for foods that are high in those nutrients.
Awesome. You said iron, zinc, magnesium. What was the last one?
And choline.
Choline.
choline, which is typically found only in meat or animal products. So typically we think of choline as found in the yolk of the egg. So don't skip the yolk. Go for the yolk. Yeah, eggs are great fertility enhancing foods.
I love it. Okay. My first trimester, all I wanted was eggs. It was the weirdest thing.
Oh, that's very uncommon. I feel like most women are like, eggs are disgusting.
I don't know. My body was like, give me all the eggs. So interesting. Choline, apparently. Well, so let's say women are like, okay, I'm going to try all these diet and I'm going to try this nutritional stuff first. And we'll get to exercise here in a moment. Actually, let's go ahead and just go to exercise first, because that's probably another thing that someone can adapt lifestyle wise before they go further and see a specialist or see a doctor or see a nutritionist, a registered dietitian, whatever. So from an exercise perspective, what do you recommend that women focus on when trying to conceive?
Absolutely. So when trying to conceive, it's really important to get exercise in. It can be really great for the body. It can be stress reducing for some people. Obviously you want to make sure, and I know this is something you talk about a lot. You don't want your exercises to stress you out too much. You want to get just enough and not too much to where it's a stressor on your body. So I definitely recommend, exercise for trying to conceive. And there are a number of studies that show benefits for trying to conceive, but you don't want to overdo it. So it's kind of like there's too little and there's too much to where it can be that stressor on your body. And when it comes to trying to conceive, you want your body to be in a state of feeling safe. You don't want all of these outside influences affecting your stress levels. And so just kind of getting that moderate amount of exercise, probably not running marathons, things of that nature, are going to be great. So it can definitely have a really positive effect on your fertility in general.
That makes total sense. You're saying Evlo. They should just do Evlo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. As you're saying, like, you want your body to feel safe, it made me think about like our post-class relaxation and our the meditation that we build into every class. So I'm guessing meditation would be helpful when trying to conceive as well, to try to calm your nervous system, make your body feel safe.
Yes, absolutely. Meditation would be amazing. I really like guided meditations if you're not somebody who is a meditation expert, but there are specific like guided meditations for fertility. So focusing on positive thinking around your fertility, especially for women who are struggling to conceive, that can be a really, it's a big stressor for them. And so meditation specific for fertility, or if you just want to do a regular meditation, you can find them for free on Spotify or wherever, just like YouTube videos, things like that can be really helpful just to make your body feel safe. And I think just the main takeaway from that like conversation around exercise is you want to incorporate an exercise routine, but you don't want to overstress the body. So finding that happy medium to where you're not overdoing it with exercise and not underdoing it can be really important.
Yes. And I feel like I can speak to this specifically, like, because a lot of people are like, how do I know if I'm overdoing it? Because overdoing it is just so common, and joint pain and fatigue and like soreness is just so expected when you're quote unquote fit, that people think that if it's not there, then I'm not doing enough. But I would say, and you can let me know if you agree, like if you're experiencing lots of soreness that's never going away, if you're feeling like you're not recovering, if you feel like you're feel like you got hit by a truck after every workout, it might mean that you're doing so much damage in your workouts that your body isn't recovering and doesn't feel safe. And again, as I've talked about in other episodes, like I feel reproductive health is one of those organs and systems that isn't necessary for our body's survival. So it's going to be one of the first things that suffers when you are overdoing it and overstressing your body is reproductive health. So it makes sense to be more moderate and check for some of those symptoms of like, okay, am I overdoing it? Do I need to pull back a little bit? How do you feel feel free to weigh in.
Absolutely. I would 100% agree with that. I think that, you know, it just like making your body feel safe is number one. And if you are always feeling, like you mentioned, sore, or you're feeling fatigued, or feeling like you can't even get in that workout the next day, that's not normal. It's good to feel good. You want to feel energized from your workouts and not depleted. So if you're, that's a sign that if you're overdoing it, because sometimes it can be difficult to, like you said, know if you're overdoing it, what does it mean to overdo it? If you're not feeling energized from your workouts, then that's a sign that you may be overdoing it.
Love it. That's a really simple way to put it. So let's switch gears and talk about when it's time to see someone aside from your OB. Let's say someone is applying these things for a matter of months. They're applying the nutrition, things that we spoke about, the exercise, things that we spoke about. When is it appropriate to see like a registered dietitian versus just seeing your OB? Is it 4 months, 6 months? Usually, when do you recommend that process?
Absolutely. So I would say it never hurts to see somebody just like when you're planning, especially if you have questions about your diet or what you should be doing, or just applying some of these principles in general, because it can be hard to make diet changes if you feel like you do need to make diet changes to prepare for pregnancy. But in general, if we're talking about you feel like you're starting to struggle to conceive, you've been trying and you're not seeing that positive pregnancy test and you feel like something might be wrong, I would say typically try for about 4 months, which can feel like a long time, but generally there are some studies that show that you have about a 25% chance of conceiving every time you try. And so if you try for about 4 months and you haven't seen a positive pregnancy test, that might be a sign that something's not right and it's time to start focusing a little bit more on your diet or lifestyle, diet and lifestyle, and start to focus a little bit more on what may be going on. Do you have an underlying condition, maybe something like we talked about with PCOS or endometriosis, or maybe you're not ovulating, things of that nature, but nutrition can help with all of these things. It's definitely not the cure all, but it is extremely, extremely important when it comes to your fertility. What you're putting in your body is helping to produce that, that baby, right? And so that's the number one thing that you can really do to, like, you can take control yourself and start optimizing your diet and lifestyle for fertility. So I would say if you're trying for about 4 months and you're not seeing positive pregnancy tests, that would be a good time to really start to evaluate your diet and lifestyle, in addition to going to see your OB. But typically, you know, if you go to, not all doctors are like this, but typically if you go to your OB and say, we've been trying for about 4 months, they'll say, okay, try for a year and then come back and we will do some testing. So some doctors won't even do testing until you've struggled to conceive for about a year. And that's when they can diagnose with infertility and then do testing to maybe get some things covered by insurance or whatever that is. So I think that's the reason why they do give you that advice to wait a year and then come back and they'll do some further testing. But it's never too early to start focusing on your diet. And even if you're planning, let's say you want to be pregnant in 6 months, that's a great time to start.
I love it.
Focusing on your diet and lifestyle.
Yeah, I wish I would have known this stuff last year when we started trying, because it might have happened. It took us like six months. And I changed, I ended up taking out HIT, and that was what, and shortly after I took out HIT, that's when I got pregnant. I don't know if it was correlated. It's hard, it's hard to say for sure. Could have just been, that was the time that everything clicked in. But, I wish I would have known these things about like micronutrients and blood sugar and all of those things before I started. I think this is really, really helpful. Anything else with women that you feel like is important to touch on before we move on to like kind of men's fertility and touch on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say just in general, not necessarily nutrition related, but if you are struggling too, I would really do a lot of research on when you're ovulating or if you are ovulating, because it can be devastating if you know, you're just trying, kind of like having fun with it, but not necessarily knowing when you ovulate. That can be a big factor for some people and something that I see a lot, because we're often told, you ovulate on day 14, or if you have like a general like cycle tracking app and you're not actually putting in your personalized data, maybe your basal body temperature, or you're using LH strips, which are like, if you've heard of like ovulation predictor kits, you can get them at like the drugstore, sticks you pee on that will help you predict when you're ovulating. If you're not incorporating any of that data into your app, the app might not be predicting correctly when you ovulate. And oftentimes we're told typically a woman will ovulate on day 14 of her cycle, but it can really range from anywhere from like day 12, maybe even a little earlier, which would be a little too early, but day 12 to like day 23, 24, 25, depending on like how long your typical cycle is. So I would suggest if you are struggling and you're not really tracking some of these things, to really start to look into how do you track your specific ovulation date and how can you optimize your timing around your unique ovulation date to optimize your chances of conceiving.
Love it. Yeah, basal body temperature or the strips. And I have an Oura ring and it makes it so easy. It's like, because it just takes your temperature without you having to think about it. And it can integrate with different apps, fertility apps, natural cycles being one of them. So I wish I would have gotten this like way sooner before I started trying, so that we could get, because it takes like 3 months of data or something that it needs before it can like help you reliably predict when you ovulate. So I think that's awesome. I think tracking is like really important and probably something that maybe people are just, you know, having sex on the wrong days. Like,
yes, absolutely.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have the Oura ring too. And that's how, you know, I track my basal body temperature. And that's something like you said, let's say you decide you want to get the Oura ring or another, there are quite a few for basal body temperature tracking devices out there. Let's say you want to get a monitor to do that. It does take 3 months for you to really get a good handle on what is your cycle looking like. So really the earlier that you start tracking everything and preparing, the better. It sounds kind of like silly to like, especially if you're not in that mindset of I want to be pregnant next month or whatever it is. It can feel kind of weird to start thinking about those things, but it's really, really helpful to prepare.
So. Yeah. All women, I think, should start thinking about it like a year in advance.
Yeah. I like to think about it like, just like you would plan your wedding, plan around your fertility.
Totally. Well, this is great. I don't even know. Let's like quickly touch on men. I don't want to take up too much more of your time. Men, how can they adopt a fertility friendly diet? Is it the blood sugar thing again?
Actually, I mean, yes, blood sugar balancing can be helpful. I wouldn't say it's like the number one thing for men, but I mean, it's helpful for your overall health generally. Yes. I would say for men, making sure you're including lots of antioxidants in your diet is extremely important. So going back to what we were talking about with the colorful foods on your plate, that can be extremely important. There are a lot of studies that show that a high antioxidant containing diet helps with sperm quality. And blood sugar balance is important too. But maybe there just aren't as many studies on that for men, because women with like PCOS, that's the big thing that's connected to infertility, and blood sugar balance is really important for that. But blood sugar balancing diets are important for men too, but antioxidants are like the key when it comes to sperm quality. So a lot of times oxidative stress is the cause of poor sperm quality or decreased sperm count. So oxidative stress is one of those things that can affect sperm. So antioxidants, so if we think about that word, antioxidative stress basically is what helps to reduce that oxidative stress and support that sperm quality. So lots of whole foods, again, a diet that's low in processed foods, high in those antioxidants as well, is extremely important. And then reducing alcohol. This is important for women too, but a good thing to really focus on for men is reducing alcohol intake as well. Can cause a lot of oxidative stress and can cause that poor sperm quality. But I would say something I always recommend is super easy to implement. I always recommend for my clients, for their male partners, is to take a men's prenatal. And so this is something that's kind of gaining a little bit more traction. And I love it because it's kind of like, we're in this together, we're making this baby together, and we're both going to do something to support our fertility. And oftentimes men's fertility is kind of like pushed to the side, not considered at all. And a lot of times, you know, there's statistics out there that says like 40% of infertility cases have male factor. And even like something to consider with miscarriage too is the sperm that is helping to fertilize that egg could potentially contribute to miscarriage if that sperm wasn't, you know, if there were chromosomal abnormalities or if it wasn't of high quality. That can contribute to an embryo not being viable. So the easiest thing for your male partner to do is take a men's prenatal. That's going to incorporate a lot of those micronutrients that we've been talking about that helps to support that sperm quality. So there are a bunch of great brands out there. Do you want me to mention?
Yeah. Yes, please.
Okay. I really like a brand called Needed. And they have a men's sperm quality prenatal. And so that is a great one. There's
a NEED. How do you spell that?
NEED. Just like I needed that. Yeah. and then another great brand is called Fullwell. Fullwell. They have a men's prenatal as well as a women's prenatal. And I like those brands for both women's prenatals too, but it's kind of cute just to like order your prenatals together, take them together, both get invested in your fertility. So
I love it. I love that we're holding the men responsible too, because they play a part, a small part, yeah. But still a part, yeah. Nonetheless.
Absolutely.
Well, this is amazing. If, how do you work with people, and if someone wants to find you, follow you, how can they find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I work one-on-one with women. So I take on clients. We work one-on-one together. My website is called littlelifenutrition.com. And I have a free resource on my website too. If you want to check that out, just to get started, it kind of pulls a lot of this information together and gives you an example of like how to build your plate for fertility. That's called the Fertility Foundation's Diet Guide. So you can grab that on my website as well. My website is littlelifenutrition.com. And then my Instagram is just at littlelifenutrition. So you can DM me there. My email address is on my website, so you can send me an email if you have any questions. And I offer a free 30-minute consultation just to see if it's a good fit for us to work together. So don't have to commit to anything right away. I offer that free 30-minute time slot for us to just chat about what's going on with you and see if it's a good fit for us to work together.
Amazing. This was so good and helpful, and you gave so much specific tangible advice. So I really appreciate you coming. And listeners, thank you for listening. We will see you all next week, same time, same place. Bye for now.